Henry IV, Part 1 by William Shakespeare, introduced by Richard Eyre.
In the histories, Shakespeare developed an existing type of play, the history play, into something that we now call epic theatre, by which we mean a play which concerns itself with public events and private lives, and the way in which the two impact on each other. Henry IV is, in a sense, not about history. Its most famous scenes take place in a tavern and show a fat, brilliant old man being funny about his king. In the first part of a two-part play, Henry Bolingbroke has just become Henry IV. He's coming to understand that however justifiable politically his actions may have seemed, his usurping of Richard II's throne is bringing down on him a curse that will darken the future. Those who helped him against Richard, the great aristocratic family of the Northumberland Percys, now feel themselves betrayed. The king has a rebellion on his hands, both a private one and a public one. His son, Prince Hal, is at present roistering in a pub with his bad angel Falstaff. The king sees his son as a second Richard, begging to be deposed. He longs for a son like Hotspur, a wild and heroic young soldier. Shakespeare's historical writing is as questioning as it is vivid and solid. But in the end, we care less about history being made at court than we do about what happens in the Boar's Head Tavern at Eastcheap, where Falstaff is busy rewriting the history of what actually took place among the thieves on Gad's Hill. The actors here are not merely kings and rebels, but fathers and sons, friends and enemies, saints and sinners, and above all, soldiers, all of whose roles may at any moment be exchanged. Our sympathies in the play follow a twisting course. No one is without blame or guilt. Everyone is morally ambiguous. It's said that Elizabethan audiences used to stop cracking their nuts when Falstaff came on stage so as not to miss a syllable. They had the right idea.
Not all the water in the rough, rude sea can wash the balm from an anointed king. The breath of worldly men cannot depose the deputy. What must the king do now? Must he submit? The king shall do it.
You may my must glories and my state depose, but not my grief.
Sweet to taste, through indigestion. Conveyors are you all, but King Bolingbroke. Will his majesty give Richard leave to live?
The children yet unborn shall feel this day a sharp to them.
But in a Christian climate, souls refined should show, sir. Seize the crown. Seize the crown. Seize the crown. Seize the crown.
Henry IV, Part 1, by William Shakespeare. Starring Julian Glover as King Henry IV, Jamie Glover as Henry, Prince of Wales, and Timothy West as Sir John Falstaff. Henry IV, Part 1.
So shaken as we are, so wan with care, find we a time for frighted peace to pant, and breathe short-winded accents of new broils to be commenced in strands afar remote. No more the thirsty entrance of this soil shall daub her lips with her own children's blood. No more shall trenching war channel her fields, nor bruise her flowerets with the armed hoofs of hostile paces, those opposed eyes which, like the meteors of a troubled heaven, all of one nature, of one substance bred, did lately meet in the intestine shock and furious close of civil butchery, shall now, in mutual, well-beseeming ranks, march all one way, and be no more opposed against acquaintance, kindred, and allies. The edge of war, like an ill-sheathed knife, no more shall cut his master. Therefore, friends, as far as to the sepulchre of Christ, whose soldier now, under whose blessed cross we are impressed and engaged to fight, forthwith a power of English shall we levy, whose arms were moulded in...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?